Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time to talk music news with our music expert, Gary Kraft. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I think we're both good.
That's good.
There's only one answer for that today, and the answer is great, because Taylor Swift has a new record out.
She's got a lover for you, I'll tell you that.
Have you heard it?
I have. They sent it out to us late yesterday afternoon, embargoed to midnight, which is when it came out. And it's long. 18 songs, and it's a pop album. Again, you know, this is where she lives now, and it's fine. It's a Taylor Swift album. I don't think you're hearing her break any new ground on this, you know, from what she's done on her previous pop albums, you know, save that it's a pop album, you know, save that she continues to work in the pop world.
She's rolled out songs on things like the Today Show and...
She's on Today or Good Morning America yesterday.
Okay.
And she's been rolling out songs for most of the summer. And then the campaign will continue. She's going to open the MTV Video Music Awards on Monday out in New Jersey. And you'll be seeing other big placements and probably a tour announcement soon. I expect she'll go out next year, that's her usual... motif is she releases an album in August, and then, or sometimes in October, to be fair, and then usually has a tour coming the following year. But she'll have some more special performances, some more surprises. I guess she did something in Central Park yesterday after she did GMA. So, you know, the Taylor train is rolling.
And then she'll shoot up into the best paid entertainers of the year list. Or what, 2019 or 2020?
2020.
Yeah. You'll get all of that going on. She did drop some interesting information though. You know, earlier this year there was that controversy because of Justin Bieber's manager buying her record company,
which she's very unhappy about.
Right. So her line now is she is going to go and re-record her previous 7 albums.
But wait, if she re-records her first 7 albums, he still owns the rights, right?
He owns the rights to those, to the recordings she made.
Hmm.
But
So she owns her own music.
She owns the music.
So if she re-records it, reissues it, and people buy that, he gets nothing.
Right. So you'll have competing versions of the same albums out there.
A fine point of law. Interesting.
Will they buy... These Taylor fans will buy them, right?
You know, if she makes the right appeal that, hey, this is the right thing to do, you know, go get rid of the old versions of my albums and buy the new ones. I bet a lot of them will.
And what does she have to do? Just re-sing them? Or
She has to go in and do the whole thing.
Everything. Yeah. Everything instrument has to be played.
Maybe she can tweak them. Maybe more of what she wants.
We'll see what happens. It seems to me a tall order and very time consuming.
Well, yeah. Shania did that. What, the Up album? Is that what it was?
That was a case where that wasn't a business thing. She did 2 versions of that album. One was more country flavored. One was more pop.
Right.
And for the different markets, but that was not at all related to business.
Okay.
Wow.
So we will be hearing a lot about Taylor. She got a little. Unexpected competition today. Missy Elliott dropped a surprise album called the iconic Clasto. This is Missy Elliott's first new album in 14 years, and it comes just before she gets the Michael Jackson. Yes, they did not rename it the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award on Monday at the Video Music Awards. So that's going to make a little noise too.
All right. Well, since we're talking about the girls, let's stay there. Aretha Franklin, she never, even in her passing, she never ceases to amaze me.
No, she doesn't. The story here is that as they've been inventorying the estate, they have found uncashed or undeposited checks totaling nearly $1 million.
But wasn't she didn't she have some debt problems somewhere?
You know, that's always been a case. I don't know if it's necessarily been a case of debt or non-payment, which is a little different than that.
But,
She does have, they found a royalty check for more than $700,000. They found another one, for more than $285,000. So basically $988,000 plus in uncashed or undeposited checks.
So we're safe to say she just wasn't good with money.
No.
So can some power of attorney, they'll cash them, right?
That's what's all being determined now. You know, now these kind of flew under the radar for a minute because everybody's focused on, these handwritten wills that were also found in the inventory of her possessions, are these legitimate wills or not? And do they need to be enforced? So really these checks just kind of exist. I guess the court can go back to the folks who wrote the checks and say, if they are indeed stale dated, just ask for them to issue new ones, and they could still be deposited in an account.
Well, when you say legitimate, I mean, what if they're all her thoughts and she penned them all? It's like, well, what one is the latest one?
Well, that's what they're trying. They are dated.
Yeah.
And so, they brought in a handwriting expert, and then the judge, the judge has to determine, okay, this is the active will. This is the one we're going to settle the estate on.
All right. Let's stick with the girls here a little longer. Joan Jett is going to join Carrie Underwood this year?
Yeah, this is kind of cool. So Carrie Underwood, of course, for many years now, has been singing the Sunday Night Football theme for the NFL and NBC, actually since 2006. This year she's going to be joined by Joan Jett. And
wait a minute, Carrie Underwood's been singing the theme since 06? When was Faith Hill doing it?
Before that?
What was that? No, Faith Hill's Monday Night Football.
Gary
Underwood's Sunday Night.
Another fine point.
I'm throwing the challenge flag on that one, but go ahead. Joan Jett and Carrie Underwood this year.
Okay, so they've joined forces this year. They've already recorded the openings for Sunday Night Football, and they're going to be.
But they don't even do Joan Jett's song anymore. I Hate Myself for Loving You was the music they grabbed for that, right?
Right. And I forget, they haven't said what the theme was this year. Oh, it's Waiting All Day for Sunday Night is the song. And then, Joan Jett's joining Carrie Underwood. And that song actually is adapted from I Hate Myself for Loving You.
Well, Joan Jett's a sports fan. She's kind of a big Orioles fan.
Baseball, football, she's a fan. Baltimore raised, but, she's been in L.A. for a long time.
She may have quit on the Orioles by now. They suck.
Well, yeah.
But that's on her. Okay, one more with the girls. Lisa Marie Presley is writing a tell-all.
Yeah,
about
she,
what,
yeah,
herself or her dad?
Both. She's writing a memoir, and this is going to be out, we think next year, and it's going to include lots about growing up as Elvis's daughter, who she really didn't know all that well, but also about her short marriage to Michael Jackson, and that's going to be the big draw of the book. I mean, there's been a lot of Elvis out there, so how much more do we really need to know? But there's really been very little said in detail about that marriage, which people thought was very strange when it was going on, and now are going to find out apparently a lot more about it.
Well, there's no one. Well, I suppose there's plenty of Jackson family to defend Michael if she says anything. But.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of people who could write things about Michael Jackson. They largely haven't, at least within the, within the family. So it'll be interesting to see what Lisa has to say to us.
Will there be
a new animated series going to feature a fictional Elvis?
Right, yeah. So Elvis is going to be in an animated TV series for adults, an adult animated series.
Oh, really? I was thinking
series.
Johnny Bravo.
And he's going to play a touring musician who moonlights as a spy.
Okay.
And
Johnny Bravo.
He'll have a jetpack on top of his white jumpsuit.
Okay.
And he'll be doing secret work for the government. This is a sanctioned project. Priscilla Presley is his widow, is one of the project's producers.
I was going to ask, isn't someone going to object to having Elvis be a super spy?
I'd make it run around a jetpack.
The official estate is involved in it, and she helped create it, apparently. So apparently it's with Netflix and Sony Animation, And we'll be hearing more about air dates.
I'll bet if Elvis were alive, he would want it way more crazy than this is going to be, because he'd want to be shooting spider webs and have X-ray vision.
Well, I think, yeah, he'd want superpowers, but I guess he is going to be a superhero of a sort. We'll see how this one pans out.
So the NASCAR fans aren't ready or are too meek for a Slayer-sponsored car?
At least we're deemed this way. So, you know, the word initially came out that Slayer was going to sponsor a NASCAR car for Rick Ware, and for Rick Ware Racing. And then a couple days before, it was it was canceled, and just NASCAR felt like Slayer is a little too aggressive, too intense, a little too extreme for NASCAR's sensibilities.
What would they want to put on the car that was so scary?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, there wasn't a lot of devil on there, and that kind of would fit with NASCAR anyway. It was the band's logo and a few images. Black car with like red orange.
Other bands have sponsored cars. Didn't Three Doors Down do a Dale Earnhardt car?
I think so. Yeah,
junior car
difference.
One for
there's
one
a
race.
Big difference between Kryptonite and Rain in Blood. but yeah, it's a little surprising.
Yeah. Okay, let's say Florida Georgia Line wanted to sponsor a car. They're good with that, right?
Yeah, there wouldn't be any trouble. Country pretty much across the board. You can't go too wrong with Hootie and the Blowfish, I think. But I don't know. Metallica's never sponsored a car. Megadeth, maybe it's just thrash metal that NASCAR really doesn't want to get involved in.
Hootie's at Alpine tonight.
Yeah, a great show. Saw them here last week. And great show, great comeback. They, of course, as we've spoken about, new album coming out in November.
Have you heard any of it?
Yeah, I've heard two of the songs. They played two, and it sounds like Hootie. It's the whole thing, from the show to the new music they played, it sounds like a minute hasn't passed since the last time they were active.
So they picked up right where they left off.
They did, and it's really good.
If you're a Hootie fan, is this a must-see show?
Yeah, I think so.
Must see.
You haven't seen them for 10 years, and they're really good.
All right. What would you pay for one of Dwayne Allman's guitars?
Pay? Probably nothing, because I would know going into it that I had no shot at getting it. But somebody did pay $1.2 million, that would be million, seven figures, for the 1957 Gibson Les Paul Goldtop that he played on Layla. He also played it on the first two Allman Brothers band albums.
So this is on Layla. He plays on Layla.
This is the one that did his parts on the Layla album.
What part? Because the Layla riffs are, Eric Clapton, I thought.
Clapton, and he doubles them, but the slide, in the coda, the second section of Layla, a lot of the slide playing is Dwayne Allman. Those wild slide riffs you hear on the song. The real rock portion of the song's going out, that's Dwayne Allman doing the crazy slide work. That's primarily why Clapton brought him in. I mean, Clapton's no slouch as a slide player, but at the time, in 1969, Dwayne Allman was like the hot young new guy on the scene and just a wicked, wicked slide player.
I had no idea. And it sold for how much?
$1.2 million.
What do you figure Clapton's guitar is worth from that session?
From that session, maybe a little less, only because he's still alive.
Ew.
Guitar, for all, we'd have to go back through all the stuff he sold for the Crossroads, benefits, where he sold off his guitars. That one may well have gone already.
How is Eric these days, by the way?
Yeah, as far as we know, he's doing okay. He dialed things down, and he's doing maybe a half dozen shows a year, New York, L.A., and London. He's not going to tour again. He'll record. He'll continue to record, but he does have a degenerative muscular condition. Apparently not quite as severe as Peter Frampton's, but, he's taking it easy and not working as hard as he used to.
I hate to even ask this question, but whenever the Universal Studio fire pops up, it's always more bad news.
Yeah, now apparently it's a little less bad news. They've come out and they've said that a number of the catalogs that were thought to have been lost, including Tom Petty and a number of others, that those were not lost. They haven't said where they are yet, but they say those were not among the masters that everybody fears were destroyed during that fire in 2008. The original estimate was 500,000 master recordings. Universal Music Group is claiming, at least, that it's going to be a lot less than that. But, you know, hell, even if it's half of that, it's still pretty significant. So really what they're focused on now is the artists who are in a class action lawsuit against them. And, you know, saying, you know, for losing the, for not only losing the masters and not properly protecting them, but also for not telling them for 11 years what was going on. So Hole, Courtney Love's band, recently was dropped from the class action suit, or their masters were located, and they're saying, you know, Tom Petty, Steve Earle, that their masters were not lost. So this is going to be ongoing. It's going to take years to really sort this out, but they are working pretty earnestly and intensely to get this information.
I feel like we've talked more law than music today.
Is Jay-Z buying a football team?
Apparently not. The initial rumor, you know, after
because he was taking a beating just for being hooked up with the NFL last week.
Yeah, the folks, you know, a lot of the folks on the equal rights and civil rights side, you know, the Colin Kaepernick supporters, you know, are still angry with him for hooking up, you know, Jay-Z and Roc Nation, hooking up with the NFL to basically do talent for them to plan the Super Bowl halftime show, and to also, you know, also provide entertainment for some of the other key shows. And then the report early in the week came out that, oh yeah, and Jay-Z is imminently going to become a part owner of an NFL team. A lot of people thought it was the Miami Dolphins, but yesterday some sources in the NFL came out and said there are no plans in place for Jay-Z to become an owner. So that seems to be off the table right now. Don't be surprised if it happens in the future, though.
All right. You want to pick the last story of the day?
Pick the last story of the day, which you like to throw at me. I will say that there was a... we're hearing that there's going to be, you know, we have the Beatles' Abbey Road, the 50th anniversary box set edition coming out in September. Now we're hearing that on November 15th, we're going to get a vinyl box of all 22 British Beatles singles. So all of the 45 RPM discs they released, 22 of them, which surprises me. I would have thought there were more, but apparently not. It'll also include the two songs they did for the Beatles anthology back in 1985, Free as a Bird and Real Love. Those will be released as a single along with 21 others.
All right. Who are you going to see this week?
This week, you know, we do have the Wiggles playing. I will not be seeing that. We have the Smithereens in town with Marshall Crenshaw, which should be, I'm kind of looking forward to that.
All right. Very good.
All right. Well, you guys have a great weekend.
Gary, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right. Gary Graff, our music guy.